Hello and welcome to a special episode of Inside Total Film, all about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which is now streaming in its entirety on Disney Plus. Today, I'm joined by our reviews editor, Matthew Leyland.
Hello.
And our online editor, Jack Shepherd.
Hello.
And Jack's also been recapping the episodes each week at gamesradar.com, so we suggest you check those out as well. And like those reports, this is going to be very spoilery today. We're here to discuss the entire series now. So, quick spoiler alert. Please listen no further if you haven't seen all six episodes yet. But if you are sticking with us, let's go.
So, who would like to start? Mr. Barnes, why does Sam aggravate you?
15 seconds to drop.
So what's our plan? Hey.
Great.
So to start with, did you guys like The Falcon and the Winter Soldier? Jack, do you want to kick off as our sort of official recapper? What did you think of this, especially particularly the finale, which we've just watched?
I found it quite a strange season of television. Started very strong, I felt, and then towards the middle, I feel like the pacing somehow fell off a cliff a bit. It felt quite rushed. A lot of kind of moving from set piece to set piece. And then the finale, I really enjoyed last week's episode and I enjoyed the setup for the finale. And then there were quite a few moments in the finale that I felt were undeserved. But then also, on the other hand, especially the Sam Wilson stuff, I felt was very earned and was really powerful. So it's been a mixed bag for me, I'd say. How about you, Matthew?
I didn't like it. I loved it.
Good X Factor tension there.
I mostly loved it. I agree with you about the pacing. I did think the pacing was pretty uneven. Yeah, I thought some episodes an awful lot happened, and other episodes they kind of took off like a rocket, then really slowed down. I think my least favorite episode was the first one. I found that very slow to get going, perhaps because they didn't bring together the two main characters. I was really pleased with it because I did find WandaVision a little bit disappointing. In the end, really, I felt that went on a bit too long. I didn't really enjoy all the tonal shifts in the end, but this I found a bit more consistent. Despite its flaws, I thought it got it absolutely right where it really counted, especially with all the Sam Wilson's arc, which was kind of predictable in a way, but really satisfying when it really kind of went to where I wanted it to go. So I was very happy with that. So yeah, overall, I really liked it.
I was sort of probably somewhere between the both of you where, I didn't love it quite as much as Matthew, but I did enjoy it a lot. And I felt that, similarly, the first episode I found a bit slow. And then I felt that pretty much every episode was getting better and better after that. And then the finale maybe didn't quite, leap ahead of episode 5 for me, but there was a lot I enjoyed. And it kind of starts on this really great note, which wasn't hugely surprising. But when we see Sam in his new Captain America suit, that was a cool moment, wasn't it? What did you guys think about that?
Oh yeah, I was punching the air. Yeah, I just wish I'd seen that in a cinema with a group of Marvel heads going mad for it, because that was great. I really loved all that.
It's interesting that the series has very much felt like a Marvel movie, kind of split up into six chunks. I found the structure of the finale, the way it built into the action, it was pretty much half an hour of action of people flying around and then kind of the senators being told off, and that great, great speech from Sam. And then, a conclusion and then a bit of setup for some sequels. So it did feel very much like one of those movies. For me, I felt that was slightly disappointing. See, I think I preferred WandaVision to you.
I
really enjoyed the weirdness of it. I wasn't too won over by the final kind of like big wizardy action, action thing where they were flying in through the air. That wasn't my favorite.
No.
But I think I preferred the overall picture of that show to this one slightly.
Certainly bolder, WandaVision, wasn't it? New territory.
Felt like it really embraced that kind of, this is a TV show, this is what it's doing. Whereas this really was kind of like, it's kind of a movie, it's kind of split over all these parts. But maybe I'm in the minority there.
That's interesting because obviously, as we all know, this was supposed to be the first MCU TV show out of the gate, wasn't it? But due to kind of shooting and stuff, WandaVision ended up coming out first. And obviously this is much more conventional. It's very much in the tone of Captain America, the Winter Soldier and Civil War. So yeah, it would be interesting to see how they had played, you know, if they'd have gone in the order that was originally intended. We should have had Black Widow before this as well, shouldn't we? Before COVID and delayed everything in the cinemas.
And Eternals as well. Wasn't that due out last year as well?
I think originally, yeah.
Well, there were reports that Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character was meant to be in Black Widow.
That would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so that would kind of set up a potential, I guess people were speculating, Thunderbolts series or movie or something, you know, kind of like the anti-Avengers or whatever you want to call it. I mean, for most people, it probably would have made that cameo a lot more impactful than one we saw last week. Although I was still buzzed just to see Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld in something. I was well happy.
Considering she's had like such a minimal screen time as well, she does make a big impact in her sort of two scenes in this show. Like, as soon as you see her, you just want more of her.
When are we going to see her again? I mean, that's kind of what this series left me wondering, you know, looking at what else is coming out. When are we going to pick up these threads and see these characters again?
Surely we're going to glimpse her in the Black Widow movie, aren't we? Like, surely, whether or not it was done retroactively now or not, she's got to be in there. Let's move on to another character. When are we going to see US Agent again? Who obviously she's working with John Walker's kind of, you know, new alter ego. Yeah. What's his next opportunity to appear in the MCU?
He's going to be kicking around, isn't he? Causing trouble somewhere. He'll turn up in a random place, I'm sure. Just the least place you expect. Might, maybe like Ant-Man 3 or something. He'll suddenly arrive, mess everything up.
Just in another universe, Doctor Strange or something.
Yeah.
I felt like John Walker in the finale, it was quite an interesting take to give him a redemptive arc. I was not expecting it because, you know, we've seen this man standing over someone with the Captain American shield all bloody. That was a really striking image, you know, it almost, you know, instantly iconic within the Marvel pantheon. And then suddenly, basically fist pumping with our boys, you know, Falcon and Winter Soldier. It was slightly strange almost that they went quite so the other way. You know, he has a hero moment where he's given the choice of chasing after Carly or saving a bus for the people. And he saves the people, not a bus, but, you know, a machine car thing, heavier military thing. What did you guys think of that moment?
I must admit, I was surprised about it as well, because I've enjoyed Wyatt Russell a lot this season as John Walker and how he's kind of gone. And obviously he's kind of become more villainous as it's gone on, and he's taken a super serum and become, you know, this exaggerated version of himself. But yeah, I almost was left slightly feeling like I'd missed something in this episode, because almost like a scene was missing where they just forgave him perhaps a bit too quickly. And I was surprised that Sam and Bucky were quite so, you know, yeah, cool, he could be back on our team for now, because things didn't seem to be kind of great where they'd left them.
I think he certainly got a second career as a maker of shield replicas. I mean, that was pretty impressive. He whipped that up. I mean, I know it wasn't the same quality, but it looked like the real deal, didn't it? Who knew? Tinkering away in his garage and he made that. Good on him.
Yeah, do you reckon we're going to see a lot more of him in the future?
I hope so, yeah. Wyatt Russell's performance, I thought, was terrific. One of the strongest in the series, that grey moral area that he's always operating in. So, yeah, I would really like to see some more of him.
With the power broker in this episode as well, one of the natural places for them to perhaps appear again would be perhaps the Hawkeye series, which feels like another more grounded Avenger spin-off, potentially going back to Madripoor. That could fit quite well with these characters.
Yeah, you feel like Madripoor is going to be quite a big part of the MCU going forward, don't you?
Yeah, they like their fictional locales, don't they? They like to make the most of those, because I guess they can really turn them into a sandbox, play around with them.
I thought Madripoor and some of the locations have been quite interesting, because although they've said the show has like a big blockbuster movie budget, you can kind of tell when certain locations aren't quite as big budget as they kind of made them out. You know, there was the episode where they're kind of fighting in between shipping crates, and it was like, don't think you'd get that in the movies. or like a lot of abandoned buildings. In the finale, suddenly everything's kind of covered in smoke, and it's like, oh, I can't see much now.
I wonder how many of those were sort of COVID necesities, like restrictions on filming.
Yeah.
But on that note, though, on in terms of kind of cheap looking locations for fights, I always found that the Civil War fight a bit weird in that respect, that they're just in a giant
or the airport.
Yeah.
it just felt a bit car park or something, you know, like just getting together for a quick dust up. But Jack, also, you actually mentioned something there, which brings us on to another big reveal from this finale, which was the power broker, aka Sharon Carter. What did you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't know if there's precedent for that in comics history. I mean, I don't know too much about her character. So yeah, it really took me by surprise that it turned out to be her. Yeah, that was kind of quite nicely done. But again, you know, really setting up for what is she going to do next? When are we next going to see her and see what she's up to? So, I mean, that was a nice thread to be left dangling with.
And potentially she could be quite a big baddie, couldn't she, going forward?
Yeah.
The sort of reach she had already.
Yeah, connections.
Now,
just
in case you were unsure of if she was going to be bad at the end, she gets on the phone a second she's out of the courtroom and is making her plans already. Yeah.
Who do we think she was on the phone to? Who could that be?
Good question.
Just her gang back home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have quite liked them to almost saved the reveal for that moment. Because I do feel like when they did the stuff with Carly, it felt slightly strange. I think I've probably been reading too many theories online as well, unlike Matthew. Quite a lot of people were saying that they were expecting this to happen beforehand. So when it did happen and they kind of gave a nice beat for you to kind of take your breath a bit, which wasn't really happening for me. I was like, oh, okay, great. I think it's slightly unexpected for, you know, she's the niece of Peggy Carter. I guess she's like weird time travel stuff. Also the niece of Steve Rogers.
She's snogged.
Yeah. Weird.
We've forgotten about that now, haven't we? That's Luke and Leia in Empire Strikes Back. but you didn't see that.
No one remembers that. Moving on. Which, nice. So it is quite an interesting idea to have her as an ongoing villain. I don't think that does happen in the comic books. I'm not a huge comic book reader, but I did read about it. I'm not sure if I'd buy her as this big villain yet, but I'd be interested to see, again, if they did bring her back and kind of gave her a big... juicy storyline as maybe like, you know, the main villain in a series or something. That would be quite interesting.
I think Marvel's really good at picking up these kind of sideline characters who've been affected by the big events that, you know, some people might have forgotten about, or the major characters have certainly forgotten about, and then bringing them back into the fold later on. I think that's always been quite a strength of the MCU.
And that was Bucky, wasn't it, as well? Obviously that's kind of how he came back into the Winter Soldier all those years ago. And kind of talking about Marvel villains, I felt the villains were pretty strong in this, particularly Daniel Brawler's Zemo. Did you guys like him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looked like he was having so much fun, wasn't he? It was such a kind of lighter, more playful take on the character than we saw in Civil War. And he really looked like he really embraced that. And obviously the image of him dancing has become iconic. Baron Mimo, as it were. Hey. I definitely didn't think of that before this.
I like that scene that we got the very end of the finale as well, when we see him on the raft after his butler's blown up the armored car full of flag smashers, and had that just little smirk when he heard about it. So yeah, it feels like he still could be, again, a key player going forward.
I really enjoyed him this season, and he was one of the highlights of the mid-season as well. I mean, again, my only issue here was that they trusted him at all. He was obviously going to be planning something.
My 7-year-old son said that. He was like, he's going to turn on, he's going to betray them. He's going to turn them. It was that obvious, wasn't it?
I know. I just want to kind of take Bucky and Sam and just give him a little slap around the face and be like, you know who you're dealing with. Yeah. I mean, the Wakandans kind of did that. Seeing the Wakandans in this as well was a really cool moment. That was surprising as well. Wasn't expecting those cameos, and it felt like it really connected it to the rest of the universe as well. Like, it felt like this show was kind of just happening in Congress with everything else that was happening in the MCU. I'd like that about these TV shows as well. I mean, WandaVision was, I guess, less so, but I mean, saying that, they also brought back side characters from, you know, Ant-Man and Thor and stuff like that. And I think that is definitely where the strength of these is going to be, kind of just bringing in those lower tier characters who you kind of forget about, but also it's fun to see them.
Yeah, and like the inclusion of the Dora Milaje was kind of a real reminder that there's so much more cool stuff they can kind of mine from the Wakanda, like, you know, the Black Panther universe. That was one of my favorite aspects of this series, definitely, when they came in.
Yeah.
And what did you guys think then of the overall arc of Carly Morgenthau, the leader of the Flag Smashers? Because obviously, I mean, she dies in this episode. She dies in the finale, killed by Sharon Carter, no less. Did she deserve redemption? Should she have had the redemption that John Walker got, or was her being killed off inevitable?
I think it was inevitable, really. I kind of felt that that was what this was all building towards, because she was such a kind of extremist character and living so much on the edge and dancing with death every episode. So, yeah, I did kind of feel that that would happen. I mean, yeah, I think that was a shame. I'm sure there was more to explore with that character. I'm sure they could have brought her back in some way. I mean, again, I don't know if there's a precedent for her in the comics, if she has any kind of history, or if she was just created for this series. But yeah, I felt there was perhaps more to do, but I think that was kind of inevitable. They needed some kind of catharsis, I suppose. And then, so they were always going to bump her off,
I felt. I think in the comic books, it was a male character called Carl Morgenthau, however you say it. And so they did a gender swap there with the character. I felt like she was so on the border of being redeemed that she could have just gone, actually, we shouldn't kill all these people.
She had enough opportunities, didn't she, to stop?
It kind of frustrated me that she didn't. And then even when she didn't, we don't see Sam fighting back at her. Like, he still has this hope in her. I feel quite conflicted by it, because I almost wanted either him to just be like, right, she's not turning back, I'm just going to beat her up. or for him to be proved right and for her to go like, you're right, Sam, like, we can do this another way. You know, you can make an impact on the world without having to murder people. She was a complicated character and she raised some like interesting questions. I was glad to see that Sam took her message and did deliver that to the senators at the end. You know, it felt like an important thing. I mean, probably the most unrealistic thing about this show was that the American government were told something and they did something about it and then they changed their minds. Like, that was unrealistic. That's just not going to happen.
You just need Captain America saying it to them on live telly. They've kind of got to stick with it.
I love the speech though. I mean, that was such a great moment. That was one of the two very moving moments in it, the other being the scene at the end in the museum, which brought a tear to my eye in both cases.
I think the Isaiah Bradley stuff was really well done throughout the show as well, especially, you know, the stuff in episode 2 setting him up, and then later in episode 5 when him and Sam have a bit of conflict, and then the kind of final moments where he does his story is there's a statue towards him and it's going to be told and his history will be kept. It did feel really moving. And I think, you know, this whole strength of the series within Sam's arc towards becoming Captain America, and, you know, that speech and this moment with the statue felt like, oh, wow, he really is Captain America now. Like, this is something deserving of, you know, Steve Rogers. He's different, but it's still, you know, this is Captain America. This is what Captain America is supposed to be. That was really cool.
Yeah. We waited 2 years for that kind of that payoff. I mean, from the end of Endgame, where he's saying the shield feels like it belongs to someone else when he first picked it up. I mean, I think they've played that really well to spin that arc over this series. And yeah, it was such a great emotional payoff.
Like, obviously, in some ways, you know, we've described it as quite a conventional series and sort of, you know, like what we've seen before. But that is very bold, the way they handled that and him kind of as a Black American, you know, taking on that mantle. I thought that was, just really well handled. I thought the way they dealt with that and didn't kind of ignore it or gloss over it or anything. I thought that was a thing I'll remember about this series.
Yeah, it was definitely the strongest aspect of the series was when it delved into those questions and what it means to be a Black person in America right now. And it felt, you know, ultimately very timely with the events of the last year. I mean, even, you know, the events of the pandemic as well, how people were dealing with the blip in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You know, there were definitely comparisons to be made there as well.
Do you think they'll carry on exploring the repercussions of the blip? Because, I mean, it's such a complicated situation. If you really kind of break it down and get into it, you know, what the outcome of something like that happening would be, do you think they'll go more into that or leave it aside now?
I don't know, because it's such a complicated thing, isn't it, that, like, I wonder if they will just kind of, you know, carry on without it now, you know, maybe we'll see hints of this repatriation business, you know, the government's now dealing with. It would cause so much chaos around the world, you know.
Yeah, it'd be catastrophic,
there'd be just so many families destroyed, you know, like just by people returning, you know, 5 years later and everything changed, and
yeah,
how many businesses would be completely different because of it, you know.
Well, yeah, the food supply, I mean, what happened there? Mm. Yeah, food supply, accommodation, jobs.
Well, it reminds me of I don't know if you've ever guys have seen the TV show The Leftovers.
No, I've
never seen it. No.
Yeah, the show's about 3% of the world's population just disappears one day. And then it's about the kind of repercussions from that and how families and people deal with it. And one of the main characters is this woman whose entire family, apart from her, went missing. And she's like almost like a mini celebrity in the community. I don't know. And all the there are loads of like cults that start up. There's so much to mine there. I imagine there are probably people on Earth who like worship Thanos and think he's right. you know, there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, they have dealt with it in WandaVision. They've dealt with it in Spider-Man, in Falcon. Everything that's come post that moment has dealt with it in some way.
Yeah.
And so I do feel like it's almost like everything going forward will pretty much have to, even just to touch on it, to get that out of the way, to move on. You know, it feels like they still need to do that. What's coming next that's directly after? I mean, Loki, but that's
Loki's
like,
the next thing, isn't it? We'll get in there.
That's kind of set sort of in a sideways kind of timeline, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's like a direct sequel to Endgame anyway, because you've got like a different Loki dealing with stuff.
But I mean, Black Panther 2 will have to address, you know, the fact that T'Challa was gone for 5 years. What happened in that interim? You know, who was head of the kingdom while he was gone? What was going on there? Obviously, it's got to address other things as well. Captain Marvel 2 will address it as well, and like the repercussions throughout the universe. I mean, if all this happened just on Earth, what's happening to all inhabited planets across the universe?
I kind of imagine with the Eternals, it will somehow act as a catalyst for that movie in somehow. It does feel like if there are these all-powerful eternal beings out there, then if the snap happened, then there's probably some relation to why they're on Earth or whatever. Yeah, we could keep going. We could list every Marvel TV show and movie and go, how will they deal with the blip?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So overall, what were your kind of favourite moments of the series, would you say? Obviously, the speech has got to be right up there, so we've covered that. But any other highlights for you?
Other than Mimo dancing. I mean, yeah, the speech really was good. The Isaiah Bradley moments were really cool. I thought one of the best action sequences was actually in the first episode when they're flying through the canyons, when Falcon's flying through the canyon. Like, that was really cool. And it felt like, you know, almost Star Wars-y when they're kind of going along like it's a speed run or something. So that,
it
that
really
was
felt definitely movie quality, didn't it? That set piece.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I really enjoyed that. How about you, Matthew?
I have to admit, I did enjoy the shipping crates bit, just because as a lover of buddy movies, I've watched so many cop buddy movies where there is, you know, this drama, a shootout around a bunch of shipping crates. And that just felt so right to me. So I just love the fact that kind of unpretentious, straightforward action. I really did enjoy that. And the Dora Milaje, that the whole showdown with them and John Walker. You know, when he said that thing afterwards about that, they weren't even super soldiers. Well, that really kind of tapped into his character. I found that very enjoyable as well.
And how about, were there any disappointments for you then with this series? Were you guys disappointed that there was no Chris Evans cameo?
Yeah, a little bit. But then I sort of felt it kind of seemed obvious that he wasn't going to appear, especially the way this episode kind of unfolded. I felt like there was no room for him really. And he'd already passed on that mantle to Sam. So, I mean, how they would just be reiterating that. So, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously I always love to see Chris Evans as Cap, but no, in the end, I didn't feel it needed him, to be honest.
Yeah, I think after Benedict Cumberbatch was a no-show in Doctor Strange, that this definitely wasn't going to be somewhere for Chris to make his reappearance.
No.
I think my main disappointment was more on like a just a structural level with the show. You know, like the pacing was kind of off for me. Some of the character decisions in the finale, like having, you know, US agent, you know, kind of being semi-redeemed and stuff, just didn't quite work for me. Some of the midsection of the series was slightly messy, you know, balancing Zemo with Sharon Carter, with having John Walker and Carly and all these things going on. And then obviously then we also didn't know the Power Broker and Sharon were the same person, so it was a whole other thing going on. That was so much happening that it didn't quite all mold for me as like a coherent thing. And then episode 5 I thought really brought everything, all the elements together and set up this finale, and it was quite like straight shooting, so I preferred that. I think definitely the mid-season was, even though Daniel Bruhl was definitely a highlight, was slightly disappointing overall. And I think it'll be interesting to see where the Marvel shows and how they deal with not being the movies kind of going forward, whether they embrace more so just being TV shows or whether they try to recreate the feel and grand spectacle of the movies more.
Yeah, I've got something. It's not so much a disappointment as a qualm, but I have slight qualms with Sam's wings still. I've always slightly felt this. But they obviously look very nice, and there's clearly now there's lots of scope for like cool flying action with the Captain America shield, which obviously kind of there's lots of cool stuff they've obviously done with that already, and they will do, no doubt. But the wings just always seem impractical in this world where it's like, you know, with all of Tony Stark's tech, what he's been able to do, you know, and his suits and the Spider-Man suit and all that kind of stuff, they just would be cumbersome and impractical, you know. You just get a little jet on there instead, you know. And it's sometimes when he kind of flips them out mid-act, you know, if he's fighting someone and they flip open, you know, to do something, it just seems impractical to me. But yeah, what do I know?
Yeah.
I think it's a good point, Matt. But I mean, otherwise everyone would just be going around in Iron Man suits, and that wouldn't be a very good show, would it?
That's the thing. It does look cool, you know. It looked very cool when he flew down with Carly, you know, when he was carrying Carly down after the fallout from all that. That looked
good. Yeah, they make a good shield as well, don't they? When he made that sort of canopy with that guy after they fell out of the helicopter. I mean, that looked nice.
Yeah, I would say my one issue with the new suit which he has in the finale is I wasn't the biggest fan of like the white neck he has. There was quite a lot of suit going on around his head.
Yeah.
The suit itself, yeah, I thought the main body suit was great, but yeah, the head aspect was just weird in general, I thought, because it was like, yeah, it was all around the back of his head and stuff, and but then not on the top, you know, like it was just
unprotected ears as well. I was a bit worried about his ears. You want to take him out, just aim for the ears.
I was reading recently that when in like the movies, when everyone's kind of like skydiving, like when you're skydiving, you can't actually hear anything because of the wind. So surely he would want something on his ears so he could hear other people or whatever. Anyway, can you tell we're nerds, listeners?
Great suit, but just needs to rethink the headgear.
Well, hopefully next time we see him.
Cap had Steve Rogers as Cap had a different suit every film, didn't he? So I mean, he's gonna have a different version next time we see him, isn't he?
Yeah, and tweak.
Yeah, and as a final thing, that was obviously a huge, again, punch the air moment when the title card comes up at the end of the finale, and it's Captain America and the Winter Soldier. That was a sort of moment, you know. I found that a hugely sort of satisfying art. Looking back, that will be what kind of makes the series, really. That if you kind of look at it as a Falcon to Cap kind of series, you know, I think that's how it sort of makes the most sort of satisfying sense to me anyway.
Yeah, I think you needed that kind of long form storytelling to do that. I think it might have been a bit rushed if they'd done that over the course of one 2-hour movie. But having 6 episodes, I think it played out nicely at its own pace.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that Endgame did end with Steve Rogers giving the shield over. And so when they return to the movies and, you know, we see Falcon as Captain America, if you haven't watched the show, it won't necessarily not make sense.
I had that exact same thought as well. And I started wondering the same thing about WandaVision, but I feel like that is a bit different because of the sort of evolution that Wanda went through. But yeah, I thought that with this, I kind of thought, yeah, well, if you haven't seen this, well, you saw him get the shield at the end, you know, then you're just going to see him as Captain America in the next one. So I wondered if that was intentional for like the people who aren't following the TV as well, you know. Be interesting to see how that progresses because, you know, it's all so interlocked that like now there's even more to watch, you know, like surely just not everyone's going to be able to keep up. But
no, exactly, yeah. And there's four MCU films out, aren't there, this year, and then four more next year, plus all the series.
Insanity, but we'll be there all the way.
Oh yeah,
right, guys.
On. Yeah, not complaining.
Yeah. So next up, we'll be talking Loki in the not too distant future. So yeah, thanks for joining us for this, and goodbye, guys.
Goodbye. Follow us on @TotalFilm.